Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with a special edition of Inside the Clubhouse, live from Cubs Convention, with David Haugh, Bruce Levine, and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, live from the Sheridan Grand, the Cubs Convention. David Haugh, Bruce Levine, and Ryan McGuffey. We have Sammy Sosa at 1040, Kyle Tucker at 1015. Guys, when we look at this Cub offseason that everybody continues to talk about, we've talked about the missing pieces. We talked about what they fell short of. There's a trade rumor out there. There are a lot of trade rumors out there. But I just, Bruce, we haven't really addressed the Nico Horner situation, if you want to call it that. His name has come up. I love Nico Horner. I said on the air this week he's probably my favorite Cub just because of what he represents.
He's a ball player.
He's a ball player. He's a gamer. I love his attitude and approach, not just because he's a friend of the station. But is Nico Horner being shopped? The Seattle Mariners come up a lot. Luis Castillo would be probably somebody you would want in return. Is that realistic or feasible?
So I'll ask you guys a question to answer your question. And that is, our second baseman a dime a dozen? And is that one position where you go, you know, if we have to make a sacrifice here to strengthen something else, we'll find another second baseman?
What do you think, Guff?
Yeah, I there. How many stud? Let's call them stud. Second baseman are there? I mean,
Altuve.
Like off the top of your head, right?
Yeah,
and like hear it, like that, feel that drop off. I'm with Bruce. Everyone likes Nico Horner. If this is about likability, he'd be.
It's more than likability.
He's a good
player. I think
good
it's more than likability though. It's likability maybe to me, and maybe I misrepresented that. What you have in Nico Horner is a player that you drafted and developed. When healthy, he could be all-star caliber. He's starting to ascend even more. I know there's some things about OPS. I know there's some concerns with, you know, internally, is he the right guy, and where do you bat him, and can he come through if you put him at the top of the order? All those things are valid. I also think that big picture-wise, when you're talking about the consummate Cub and what kind of traits you're looking for, whether it's a guy you draft or a guy that you trade for, Nico Horner represents all of them.
He's a winning player, too. But for this manager, he doesn't look at him the same way that David Ross looked at him, as an impact second or first guy in the lineup. That's Council, you know, had a conversation with Horner in spring training last year, and he said, look, I think you're a really good player, and I think you're going to help us win a lot of games, but you're not going to bat at the top of the order in my lineup, okay? I don't look at you as that.
Was that surprising to you? Do you think it was surprising to Horner?
I think it was refreshingly surprising and also shocking.
Refreshingly because it takes a load off?
Because he's so honest.
Yeah.
As a manager, look, you're an important part, but I'm not going to bat you up front. So don't worry about that. Help us win games where I bat you, okay? Believe in, you know, what I'm doing here. At the same time, you know, he steals 30 to 40 bases a year. He gets on base. He hits in a situation that he's in, okay? He's not going to hit you home runs. He's not going to hit you a lot of doubles. But I think he's a winning player. That's where, you know, I think you think the same way. You might think the same way.
I love him.
The manager looks at him as, you know, you'll help us.
That surprises me as much as it disappoints me.
Well, here's what I'd say about Nico. If you could use the best parts of him to acquire something that you think is going to put you over the top, they're not trying to move him because they don't like him, they don't like the player, and he's not a winning player. Him being a winning player would be to get a piece that they feel is the one plug-and-play spot that to get them to that 90 wins.
How dangerous is it to trade Nico Horner when you are investing a lot of hope in Matt Shaw being an everyday player?
I think it's a huge gamble because of the fact that here's a guy, he played the most games of anybody last year, and for 1 month he played with a broken hand, okay? I mean, this guy is everything you want in a ball player, but not necessarily for this manager or for this front office and what they're seeking right now. Other teams out there really like Nico Horner. I don't think you have any problem trading him. Question is exactly what you brought up. Once you trade him, are you going to regret it?
And the other thing for me, and this is where to speak to the fans, why are you trading another? Like, why can't you do both? Why can't you add with Nico Horner, then use Nico Horner to trade for other assets?
That's a great question. I think that we have all put a lot of faith and stock in Matt Shaw being the guy that will be everyday ready by opening day. And he certainly made a strong first impression for us on the Mullenhaw Show Friday morning. He comes across, he's 23, sounds all at 33, like a guy who has been there and done that. The Team USA experience was a positive one. That said, he's still going to be a rookie. Yeah. And I know we have learned from the past, too many examples to count, how you could be disappointed.
First four strikeout game, first error, people go, uh-oh. You know, here we go.
Gary Scott all over again.
And look, I believe in the front office. I believe that they have good players. I believe in Shaw, just like I believed in Armstrong. And what, you know, he was a complete failure at the beginning, right? That in 23 in September, man, everybody was just cutting bait on him, right? First part of last year when he came up, swing and miss, you know, not getting on base, disaster. They know what they have down there, and he can be part of it.
And PCA in center field gives the Cubs one of the best defensive outfields in the game. One of those reasons, Kyle Tucker. He's a Cub. He's going to join us next here in Inside the Clubhouse special edition from the Sheridan Grand. Don't forget Sammy Sosa at 10:40. Keep it right here. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story.
connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Here's Kyle Tucker. He'd like to take a little bit of the drama out of this and add to this 2-0 Houston lead. Tucker hits it in the air to left. Back at the wall. Gone! Home run! 5-0 Houston in the eighth.
We're back with a special edition of Inside the Clubhouse, live from Cubs Convention, with David Haw, Bruce Levine, and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thank you for joining us here at the Sheraton Grand at the Cubs Convention. It is Inside the Clubhouse. David Haw, Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey here until noon. Sammy Sosa at 1040, Tom Ricketts at 11 o'clock. But now it's time to go to the Score guest line. And guests on the Score brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino. Visit CircaLasVegas.com. Thank you to Fox for that audio highlight of our next guest, Kyle Tucker, the newest Cub. Kyle, welcome to town. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. You have great. A nice little following here. Let's start with, what was it like to be introduced on stage and have the entire ballroom, the entire city, it seemed, singing you happy birthday on Friday night?
Yeah, it was pretty cool experience just to be here in general, and then also to have that happen last night was pretty special, and it was a nice little welcoming.
As far as being welcome here, how shocked were you that you were, first of all, traded, then traded to the Chicago Cubs? I mean, you spend your whole minor league career and big league career in Houston. Were you surprised that you were traded, first of all?
You never know what's going to happen throughout your career. Some things, you can have control over, some things you can't. But I enjoyed my time in Houston. Love all those guys over there and always rooting for them. But, things kind of just happen in this game. Like I've always said, I don't think I could have gone to a better team or better organization or better city with such a phenomenal fan base here in Chicago. It's going to be fun to go out there and start playing in front of them.
You've been in the postseason every year of your career. He's played in 3 World Series, folks. This guy's played in 3 World Series. The Cubs are dying to get back to the postseason. They've only been in 1 postseason in your career, 2020. Can you carry that over? Like, can you bring that to a clubhouse? Like, what is playoff experience to a team that's trying to get there? How valuable is that for a guy like you to bring into a new team?
Is it overblown? playing in the playoffs is fun. Especially I think this year we can do it. We have a special, group of guys, a lot of talent out there. So if we can just kind of go out there and play hard and put up some runs and kind of play our game of, just our pitchers just attacking the zone and, letting our defense do our thing and, getting on base and getting the runs across the board, I think we'll be in a good spot, at the end of the day. So hopefully we can, come in with that attitude that, you want to show up and you want to win every single game. So if we just continue to have that mindset throughout the whole year, I think we'll be in a good spot to, get stuff done.
How much do you know about the Cub organization? Do you know many players that you have shared paths with? We had Justin Steele on last hour. Mm-hmm. He told us about throwing against you in high A. So yeah, there are guys that we never know you might have connections with. But on the Cubs, who do you know and what do you think?
Yeah, I play with a few of the guys in the minor leagues. But I've kind of never had, conversation or like a personal experience with them. I've kind of just played against them and kind of just in passing on the field and whatnot, so it's pretty cool to see them and watch them on the field and see what they can do, but it's also kind of cool to, you know, show up yesterday and kind of actually get to have some one-on-one time and kind of talk to them and just hang out, you know. You know, everyone's been great towards me and my family so far, so I'm excited to, you know, get to Arizona and start the spring training thing and get back here in Chicago and start playing.
Any fan can look at your game and know you're a complete ball player, but the mentality behind that, knowing where to throw the ball, knowing whether to take the extra base or not, understanding the concept of team baseball in the seventh inning and on, how quickly did that come to you, and how much was that a part of your growing up in the Houston system and the way that they won, and they won a lot?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to have, you know, some good coaches along the way, all the way, you know, from before I was in pro ball to, you know, coming up through the minor leagues and, you know, now the big leagues. So them, along with a lot of great players, you know, have kind of helped me out along the way, and I've kind of just learned, you know, small things, you know, in baseball, small things can make a difference in terms of just, you know, throwing to the right bag or just hitting your cutoff man, trying to, you know, stop the guy going to the next base. So you never know what little things like that can come up and kind of change the outcome of game, even though it might not seem like that big of a deal at the time. But, you know, a lot of things kind of go unnoticed that can, you know, change the course of a game.
You believe in baseball IQ and that some people have it, some people don't?
I mean, I think it's, you know, definitely a good thing to have. You know, as you play and as you kind of experience things along the way, you kind of learn a few things along the way and kind of just what helps you become a better baseball player overall and helps the team out in general. So obviously I'd like to learn a lot more and kind of just control the game and be as good of a, you know, player as it could be.
Joined by new Cubs right fielder Kyle Tucker here and Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Kyle, when you were acquired, you know, fans were going crazy. Superstar Kyle Tucker's acquired by the Cubs. How do you carry that? Like, does that label, do you shake that off? How do you carry that responsibility? Because this is the first time you're playing for a new organization. You see, you get happy birthday sung to you on stage the first time you're in town. How do you carry that label when you come to a new organization? Is that pressure for you, or do you handle it, just let it slide off your back?
I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, I just got to go out and play. Like I said, I'm not the only one that goes out on the field. You know, it's a whole team sport, and I just try and do my part. Whether that's on defense, on the bases, in the box, whatever it is, I just try and do my best at it and try and, you know, help those around me to get better. And, you know, I'll learn some things and, you know, I'll teach some things to other guys. So I just go out and do my part and try and help us win ball games in whatever fashion I can.
Kyle, last season, a narrative developed that was even addressed yesterday by some people that Wrigley Field contributed to a bad offensive year for the Cubs, that the conditions there are not always conducive to hitting. It can be bad weather. It can be raining weather. Everybody who lives in Chicago understands what the weather can be like at Wrigley Field in April or throughout the season. The winds blow differently all the time. What do you think of that in terms of a theory about why that could help or hurt a team offensively? And have you had any experiences with that at Wrigley Field?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at certain parks, you know, it could be obviously just the weather-wise. It could be windy, raining, snowing. You play indoors. You know, at the end of the day, you're still on the same field as, you know, the team you're playing. And that's kind of all you can worry about. You can't worry about any other games going on and whatnot. So you just got to focus on your game at the time and do what you can to win that game. I mean, everyone at that time is, you know, playing with the same circumstances going on. So you just got to do your part and try and take advantage of, you know, little things going on.
The Houston Astros for many years have been one of the most admired teams and one of the most hated teams because of that scandal. When you were in that locker room and saw a lot of the guys that had to deal with it, move on from it, how much tougher, how much better did they become by being booed excessively everywhere they went and knowing that it was going to be tougher than the normal being a road team?
I mean, we just didn't really focus on, you know, stuff that we can't control. You know, as long as we're out there playing, you still got to play the game. You can't worry about, you know, outside noise or the crowd or, you know, anything going on outside in the media. So our job is to go out there and play and perform and try and win ball games. So that's just, you know, what we try to do and try to do it at a high level.
You guys did it really well. I mean,
thanks.
It's not always easy. I mean, teams lose on the road for a reason, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they're not at home. The conditions are not as good. You don't bat last, but the mental side of being tough has to be really essential, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, our clubhouse over there was pretty close, so we just, you know, leaned on each other and didn't really worry about what was going on outside the clubhouse or outside the game. So we just kind of focused on what we needed to do to go out and win games.
The first thing you do when you come to a new team, you have to go to arbitration. So that's the, you know, the ugly side of the business. You guys came to an agreement this week, the $16.5 million. There was a lot of talk last week here in the city about, oh, God, you have to meet Kyle's demands because he's gonna be mad. He's not going to want to sign an extension here. You've lost an arbitration case when you were in Houston. Does that rear its ugly head, or it's just part of the business and we came to our agreement, I just go play baseball?
I mean, everyone's situation is a little different. Everyone kind of takes it a little differently. That's kind of, you know, arbitration side and, you know, contract stuff is kind of the things that go on, you know, behind the scenes that not a lot of, you know, people kind of know or understand, but that's just, you know, kind of how things run in our industry. But you know, like you said, we you know, agreed on it, you know, a few days ago, so I think it was, you know, where both sides were pretty comfortable with, you know, where it was at. So now, you know, got it over with. It's in the past, and now I'm looking forward to, you know, being out here at CubsCon and, you know, enjoying the city and getting ready for some baseball.
So help us out, because every time your name will come up, not every time, but a lot of the times that people will say, well, you know, Kyle Tucker, he was traded here, he's a rental. He's going to have 1 year, then he's going to test free agency. And he'll never re-sign with the Cubs because the Cubs can't afford him. Look at the Soto contract. He's got all the stats and all the reasons why he could pursue those kind of numbers and that size of a contract. What is the right way to talk about Kyle Tucker on a 1 year deal with the Cubs?
I mean, however it's going to shake out, I know I'm here for this year, and, you know, I'm a Cub, so I'm just going to go out there and play with that. You know, I'm excited to get out to Wrigley Field and start playing in front of these fans. I played there last year as, you know, as an away team, and, you know, kind of got to experience it. We didn't play too hot that series. We got three games swept, right? Yeah. So I was able to hear the Go Cubs Go anthem a lot. So I'm excited to, you know, kind of experience that on the home side now and kind of just see where everything goes with everything else.
Kyle, when you look at Wrigley Field, you haven't had a lot of experience there, but most say it's the toughest right field in baseball because of the wall, because of the sun, because of the wind. You're a Gold Glove caliber, and you have been a Gold Glove outfielder, but hitting is another thing. Because you hit to all fields, you feel that Wrigley's going to be, you know, a good ballpark for you.
I think it'll be fun. Like I said, I'm just going to go out and do my part. You know, I'm going to do my best, whether it's, you know, base running, hitting, and fielding. I'm just going to go out there and try my best to, you know, catch the ball, get the ball in, try and prevent guys going to the next base, get guys over, score them. So, you know, like I said, there's a lot of conditions that can happen throughout the year with rain, snow, sun, whatever it is. So I'm just going to go out there and do my best.
But as an expert in the field that you are right now, can you adjust your game to a ballpark?
I think you just got to, I guess, just make the adjustments as you see fit. I mean, if the sun's there, you can wear some glasses, kind of just, you know, catch the ball off to the side and stuff like that. So that's just kind of little things that you kind of pick up as you go, kind of just depending on the ballpark and kind of the, you know, sun, night, lights, whatever it is. So you just kind of pick up little things like that and do your best with it.
Joined by Kyle Tucker for a final few moments here at the Sheraton Grand, the Cubs convention. It's inside the clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Okay, what other things about Chicago are you looking forward to experiencing? And you come to town with the Astros, maybe you haven't been here that often, or maybe you have in the offseason. What are you looking forward to being on the north side all summer?
Yeah, everyone said, you know, summer in Chicago is the best. So I'm excited. I mean, beginning and end is probably going to be a little cold, but, you know, the middle part is, I heard, the best. So I'm excited for the weather. The, you know, food I heard is phenomenal. I've obviously been here on the road and had to experience that a little bit, but not fully. And then also just playing at Wrigley every single day. So I'm excited for, you know, a lot of different things, and, you know, I'm excited to, you know, get after it.
In that series in April that you referred to last year in the sweep, this was the lineup, the first four hitters in the Houston Astros lineup: Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman. Pretty good line of protection. How much did you value that line of protection when you were in Houston? And the lineup is not as stacked here in Chicago. There's a couple of guys that might be making, you know, their major league debuts, as Matt Shaw later this year. But how important is that for you as a hitter?
I mean, it's nice. I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of those guys on the team knew what they were doing. They were phenomenal talent, so you got to give them credit. They work extremely hard, and they kind of go out there and do their thing. And you know, obviously, I played against the Cubs last year, and they played pretty well, and kind of got to experience kind of just a little bit of their style, and kind of see how they play. And you can look at the numbers of the guys. So I think there's a lot of talent, a lot of room to improve, but we're just going to try and put all the pieces together and try and make a run at the playoffs and make a World Series.
So the Cubs have been rumored to be interested in Alex Bregman, your former teammate, and who wouldn't be? He's known as, we hear a lot about the guys, first guys in, last guys out. Tell us about what type of a teammate Bregman was for you. Obviously, you have no control over where he's going to play next year, but what was that experience like?
Yeah, Breggy's a phenomenal person and player. I mean, he's kind of like you said, first one in, last one out. He loves baseball. He's all about it. He's always in the cage nonstop, always out on the field taking ground balls. So he's just one of those guys that just works extremely hard and just tries to be perfect at every single part of his game. I know it's baseball. You can never be perfect, but, he definitely tries his best to be that.
All right, before we let you go, we have to get what do you like to do away from baseball when you do spend any time away from the game? And are you looking forward to, after you fulfill your responsibilities here today, the NFL football, big weekend for the playoffs? Who's going to win?
I don't know. There's a lot of good games out there. I mean, the Chiefs, Bills, Eagles. There's a lot of good teams in the playoffs this year. So I'm just excited to watch them. Get through today and kind of get all the fan experience and kind of the whole deal with Chicago. And I'm excited for all that.
I'm gonna put you on the spot here because it's the only thing everyone cares about right now. It's who's the next head coach of the Chicago Bears? You get that opportunity to hire a head coach in the NFL. Who are you hiring?
I got no say in that, so I'm all good.
That's good. Well, thank you for being here and joining us. I hope you have a great weekend, your first one as a Cub in the city of Chicago. Look forward to spring training next month, and then obviously the first season, hopefully the first of many, on the north side.
Yep, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Kyle Tucker here on Inside the Clubhouse at the Cubs convention at the Sheraton Grand. David Hall, Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey. When we come back, it's the interview we have been waiting for and you have been waiting for. We will talk to Sammy Sosa right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Look at those folks waiting for number 62.
The net's almost unfair. The 2-1. Swung on, there she goes! Number 62! Move over, Big Mac, you got company!
We're back with a special edition of Inside the Clubhouse, live from Cubs Convention, with David Haw, Bruce Levine, and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thank you to WGN for that highlight of Sammy Sosa hitting another home run from that magical summer. This is Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Sheraton Grand, and we are going to be here until noon. Tom Ricketts and Crane Kenny in the 11 o'clock hour. But Bruce Levine and I had the privilege of interviewing Sammy Sosa last night. Here's that interview now. Sammy, thank you for joining us. Welcome back.
It's my pleasure, man. Thank you for having me. And I'm happy and comfortable. And, I'm happy.
What was that ovation like? What was that moment like for Sammy Sosa to be with his people one more time?
It was incredible. I was waiting this moment for 21 years. So I guess I'm here. Today was the opportunity for me to show the love. They showed me the love also. And everything went very good. I mean, I'm glad that I pretty much they put it on the show like the way they're expecting. And hey, another good day.
What was it like seeing some of your old teammates for the first time in a long time, and who might you not have recognized? Anybody?
Well, yeah, I was very happy today to meet everyone. Kerry Wu, Sean Donson, Billy Whelan, Jack Jenke, Andre, I mean, all of them in Ramirez. So having been I haven't seen this guy for a long time. So look, that was happy too that I, you know, I mean that I'll be back in town now. Pretty much, I want to see this guy a little bit more often, and looking forward to pretty much continue our friendship.
What was it like for you, who had such great stardom and everything was so wonderful during your career, to have 21 years of being away from the people that loved you the most and the people you performed for at the highest level?
Well, I think, Bruce, I mean, the time is perfect. So God is great. So that was the time for me to come back here for some reason. I don't know. Maybe God, you know, have a plan for me, which is always does. And today was a beautiful night. I mean, no complaint. I mean, I'm happy. I still have some shield. I went up there and put in the show the way they expected me to do. You know, I mean, when I was running like that, remember right field, you know, when I was running to the bleachers. So look, you know, they was happy. You know, I mean, I make a lot of people happy, and I was, you know, and I was proud of that.
You heard the people react to that when you did that. You know, the crowd still remembers those days fondly. So a lot of people have been waiting for this moment for a very long time. Why did it take this long, and how did we get here to this point? Did you reach out to Tom Ricketts and the Cubs? Did they approach you? How would you explain the way you got here tonight?
Well, you know, look, I got a good thing. I decided to put my statement out in the right time, so I did it. I mean, and they respond back to me, and I was very proud, very happy. And also, not only that, I have to say, you know, thanks to Tom Ricketts, because, I mean, he responded in the right time. So I guess, you know, he was like me. You know, that was the right time or the right moment for me to be back here.
You spent so much time in Chicago originally getting traded to the White Sox. I remember Danny Evans telling me the story about how your first year you wanted to get paid, and you asked him to cash the money and bring your cash down. You put $7,000 in your back pocket and played a whole game. You've come a long way from that, Sammy.
Indeed. I mean, look, I mean, coming from Dominican Republic, that was tough. I mean, bring in, get the opportunity that I get, and also, you know, I have a lot of family that you know was waiting for me by then, for me to make it to the show. I did it, and also, you know, my main focus was, you know, play hard, do great, have a great year, so that way I can come back home happy, you know, with a lot of $7,000 in my pocket.
Well, you're here tonight because you reached out, you made a statement a month ago. The Tom Ricketts, they responded to it, so they invited you back into the fold. In your statement, you apologized. For what did you apologize?
Oh, 21 years, buddy. You know what I mean? Look, 21 years haven't been here. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, look, I mean, when you're growing up and you pretty much find the Lord, because I did, and you see things now differently. Before, it was hard for me, you know, to do that. But now, you know, I did it with, you know, I mean, with happiness. I mean, I did it because, you know, look, when I grew up, I mean, when I was playing, you know, I played great every day. I maybe hurt some people that I don't even know about it. So that's why, you know, I sent my statements. And I think it was, you know, fantastic. I mean, let's say 90% of the fan was very happy. 10%, you know, like always, is going to be say whatever they want. And, hey, so be.
But were you apologizing for something specific, for the way you played the game or for the way that you hit the home runs? Were you apologizing for anything specific?
Like I say, I was 21 years out, you know, without coming here to Chicago. And believe me, my friend, they love me, they support me. And definitely, you know, that's one of the reasons why I did.
What's the most difficult thing about being one of the most famous people in the world? Because you were hanging around with the Clintons, and you were as famous as anybody this side of Michael Jordan the time you played. What was the hardest part of not being famous anymore? What did you have to get used to?
No, look, I mean, I play great. I have my moment. I mean, I met everybody that I need to be met. But, you know, when you're in that world, I mean, it's different, you know. I mean, but when you met the Lord and you understand, you know, thing that is not making any sense anymore. So, you just come down to the reality. So, I believe, I'm a big believer, and that's why, you know, pretty much I'm here today. And, you know, look, I met Clinton, I met Donald Trump, I met a lot of people. In my day, and I was glad and I was happy to do that. But now I'm a different man.
You are in the Cubs Hall of Fame tonight. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you feel about not being in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown?
Well, that's another stage. I mean, normally we go one step at a time. I'm just happy to be at the Chicago Hall of Fame. You know, let's see, what the future bring me here with the Chicago Hall of Fame. So pretty much I'm not thinking about something in the past. I like to go forward.
When you think about teammates, managers, general managers, baseball people, who comes to your mind first when you think about your career and who had the most influence?
Well, a lot of people. First, the Lord, because I mean, my family. I had to mention Larry Hine, which is believe in me when I was pretty much when no one. I had to say believe in me. He trained me twice, so I guess he sees something in me that nobody else sees, right? and I did it, and I never let Larry Hine down. And also, pretty much, there's a lot of people in my life that I have to, pretty much remember. But, I mean, managers, players, GM. So, there's a lot of people that that are our favorite, too.
How would you describe what your legacy is? And does it bother you at all that it might be tainted to some people?
No, man, don't lie, my friend. I don't really care who think about it or no. My number is my number. Nobody can scratch my number from the board. I don't care what you say. So I'll move forward. I do what I got to do. And I'm happy and I'm glad. And they show me tonight that my number count. So
this summer you come back to Wrigley Field for the first time in 21 years. You will be able to be honored at the ballpark, mm-hmm. be a part of that ballpark. What have you missed the most about the Chicago fans and Wrigley Field?
Everything. They have a new ballpark. I mean, they have a new clubhouse that I haven't been there. So I want to see everything. I mean, 40,000 square feet. My goodness. When we play, we only have maybe 2,000 square feet clubhouse. So now it's 40,000. And that's one thing that I feel comfortable to. And also, I want to go back to the question that you're talking about. What I'm saying is meaning that because sometimes people get confused when I'm trying to say something. I don't mean it to offend anybody. I don't. But I believe, I'm a man that I've been through so many things in my life. I have a master in fall, but I have another master in get up and move forward. So definitely I feel comfortable about it. I want to make sure that, we don't go to a different direction.
When you come back, do you one day hope to see your number retired? Do you hope to one day see a statue of Sammy Sosa? What do you hope that you...
Everything. Everything. Are you kidding me? Everything. Yes. look. The numbers don't lie, buddy. You know what I mean? Look, I'm back. I'm happy. I mean, Tom is a great man. The Chicago organization, they here. They know the kind of person that I am. Because some people got confused sometimes. You don't know me, and you can think, you can say something about me, but you really met me, you see the difference.
What, Sammy, what's your relationship now with Tom? Have you had some private moments where you've gotten to talk, and are you looking to forge this relationship forward for many years?
I think so, because, he welcomed me to his house, because that's his thing, and also I'm glad to do that. I'm honored to be here again, and I believe that the whole Chicago organization, Dennis was great, Jean, Giselle, everybody there, because I remember everybody's name, but everybody was great. I mean, still going through something. I'm here now, like I say, and I believe the future is going to bring some good things for
Sammy,
me.
When people see you, they think of a certain memory or a flood of memories come back. When you come back here, what is your favorite memory of being a Cub?
Well, I have a lot of memory with me. I don't know. Maybe 21 months, maybe 60, he's 60, 61 here. So I don't know. Look, it was so many opportunities that I have to come through, and also, he's 64, 63, 64, and 66. And the year that I had a home run champion was when I had 50. So, you know what I mean? Go ahead.
I want to take you back to 2001.
Okay.
After 9/11, Cubs come home after being on the road. What was that like for you to get hit that home run and grab that flag from Billy Williams coming around first?
Well, that was incredible because, I mean, 9/11 was happening. Everybody was scared. Everybody was a little bit shaky because, I mean, we never see something like that. The Twin Towers going down like that, a couple of planes. I mean, come on. And also that, I remember that when we have a chance to play the game, I want to do something, like I always do something different, you know what I mean? So I said to Billy, take the flag to first base because I'm going to hit a home run today. I just said it like that. And also, you know what I mean, it happened. And also when, you know, I mean, the flag that I got running to, to right field was incredible too. But I said that to Billy. And then you see in the video that, when I hit the home run, I passed the base and then I come back to get the flag, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that you understood early on that you were not only a ball player and a great ball player, but an entertainer. How did you mesh the two? How did you, because you went out there every day, out to right field, and you got the fans going. I mean, you were an entertainer as much as a ball player.
I remember seeing that movie, The Gladiator. You got to win the crowd. You had to win the crowd, and I had the ability to do that, Bruce, and I did it. I came out very strong. I was focused in what I wanted to do. Physically, mentally, and I believe that that was, why it gave me so far, because I was afraid. And I was afraid, I'm strong mentally, and when you do that, you can go anywhere.
Final few moments here on Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, talking with Sammy Sosa. Sammy, was there somebody in the Cub organization, somebody in Chicago, somebody that you made sure you needed to see when you came back to town for the first time in so long?
Bruce. Bruce. That has been with me for so many years. And outside, I see some couple of reporters that was great to me. And I treat everybody nice. People sometimes, they pretty much change their mind when they're going to do something about me. But hey, look, I mean, it's happened. I'm not perfect, but I'm always never forget anybody.
Has it bothered you how you have been portrayed by some people in some circles in Chicago over the years?
Look, I mean, today and age, the social media, people want to say whatever they want to say. Now, day and age today, everybody's a reporter. So, look, 90% that approve you and 10% is, not happen. Hey, it's like you win the lottery.
When you look at baseball today, can you sit and watch a whole game, or is it difficult for you? And how many home runs would you hit now?
Well, I mean, with all the technology that they have today, it can make it easy because, you got an iPad, you can watch, every pitch, every swing that you do. I mean, normally, when I was playing, normally I had to go back to the clubhouse, the next day see myself. Today you have it here in the clubhouse, when the dugout. So pretty much, it's a great opportunity now. Definitely, I believe that it's, not easy to hit because he's not easy. But, whoever have talent, they have to be focused, stay in the middle, go to right field, and make contact.
Sammy, thank you so much for your time. Welcome back, and I really appreciate you spending some time with us.
My pleasure.
That was our interview Friday night with Bruce Levine on Inside the Clubhouse. We were in a room away from the other Chicago media that was assembled for an interview with Sammy that took place after our interview. You can react 312-644-6767. But we have a jammed hour when we come back, the final hour of Inside the Clubhouse here at the Sheraton Grand for the Cubs Convention. Tom Ricketts coming up next. Crane Kenny after that is Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.